I'd like to draw your attention this morning to one short phrase which you'll find in Psalm 35 at the end of verse 3. David says, "Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. I am thy salvation." It very much draws out the essence of this psalm and the great plea of David to his Lord. In the face of great persecution, surrounded by enemies on every side, experiencing the reality of being rejected by others, and knowing the great hatred which others have for him because of his love for the Lord and his ways, David cries out to his God to deliver him from his enemies, to deliver him from them that persecute him, to save him from those that hate him without a cause, to deliver him from those who have dug a pit for him and would throw him down into a pit without cause. He goes on to describe the hatred and the adversity which he receives at others' hands. And throughout it is a plea to the Lord to vindicate him, to save him, to scatter his enemies. His experience is in common with others in the scriptures. And speaking of the pit which his enemies devised for him and threw him into, we're reminded of that pit that Joseph of old was thrown into by his brothers. Without a cause, they hated him just because they were jealous of him, jealous that his father loved him. And they were turned to hatred and they threw him into a pit. David knew the same reaction. He says in verse 1, "Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he have hid catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which deliverest the poor from him that is too strong for him, yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him." So he cries out unto God to save him, to save him, to save him from his enemies, to save him from destruction, to save him from these who hate him without a cause. He cries out, "Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. I am thy salvation." Here is the essence of what David really needs, of what he truly cries out for, and of what he's brought to know. He needs to hear his God say unto his soul, "I am thy salvation." If God saves him, then he can fear nothing. If God delivers him, then his enemies are as the wind, they'd be blown away. If God is his salvation, he has nothing to fear and everything to hope in. As God said unto your soul, I am thy salvation. Have you heard God's voice in the gospel saying unto you, as he said unto David, to you in particular, to you in person, saying unto you by name? Has he come unto you in the gospel and said unto your soul, I am thy salvation? Have you ever been brought to cry out unto him, to call unto him, to plead with him that he should be your salvation? Have you been brought into the state that David was in, that you need saving? You'll know nothing of salvation, nothing of a saviour, nothing of this deliverance, and nothing of this speech unto your soul, until you're brought somewhere like David, where you need, and you know you need, to be saved. Where you have enemies, and you know you have enemies. Where you're hated without a cause. Where trouble is on every side. Now, David had enemies who he could see. Enemies who were people. Enemies who literally sought his death. Saul sought to put him to death. There were those others who hated him, who hounded him, who spake evil of him. People. Now you may say, well, there are those that don't like me. But I'm not sure that I'm in the state that David's in. But there are other enemies. There are other enemies that seek your destruction. They may not be those people you can see. But there are still people. There are still forces. There are still enemies that seek your soul, that hate you without a cause, that would seek to destroy you. We have all sinned, and we have all gone astray, and our sins have brought down the anger and the judgment of God's wrath. And our sins, left unanswered, will one day damn us. And there is a great enemy of our soul, the adversary, Satan, the devil, the great red dragon, the serpent. There is a great enemy of our soul that loves to see us sin, that loves to see us trapped by our sin, that loves to see the wrath of God kindled against our sin, that loves to see us trapped and blinded by our sin, that loves to see us remain in our sin, that loves to see us have no answer for our sin, and that loves to see us damned by our sin in the end. We have an enemy, and his legions of angels, of fallen angels, whom he sends out to do his bidding. We have enemies all around us that we cannot see, but who rejoice in our downfall, who would love to see us remain blind to God's salvation, who would love to see us remain in darkness, and would love to see us go to our grave still lost in our sins. We may not see this enemy or these enemies, but they're all around us. And they have dug a pit for our soul. and they are waiting for us to fall into that pit. There is a pit into which the wicked will be cast on the last day. It's dug and it's ready and it's bottomless and there's no escape. And there are those enemies that stand around it waiting for you and for I to fall into their pit. Without a cause, they have hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Now, our folly is that naturally we're blind to this. The world in which we live today would scoff at any mention of the devil, of Satan, of his angels, of a spiritual realm that you cannot see. They'd scoff at the reality of this pit into which we might fall. They'd scoff at the reality of heaven and of hell. They'd scoff at the reality of God and of his righteousness and of judgment to come. And they tell you that the only enemies that you have are those that you make or those that come upon you in this world. The only trouble you have is from those that you can see. Don't worry about your sin. Don't worry about what happens when you die. Don't worry about the devil. They'd blind you to these things. They'd shut you up from these things. They'd cause you to go through life merrily, head into destruction, when all around there are those unseen enemies preparing for the day when they can see you fall. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. You and I need Almighty God to fight against these foes that fight against us. Satan and his legions are stronger than any of us. Stronger than you and stronger than I. And except the Lord fight against him, except the Lord deliver you, you will fall. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. That's what David was brought to cry. And if God opens your understanding, or if God opens my understanding, to know that all around there are enemies seeking our destruction, then you and I will call with David, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Have you heard? Have you called? Has this God said unto you in answer, I am thy salvation? What are you trusting in? You trusting in self? You trusting in your own self-righteousness? You trusting in man? You trusting that one day you'll be delivered from these enemies by something that you can do or think or say? Or have you found that there's no hope in any of these things? And your only hope is in he who says unto the soul, I am thy salvation. I am thy salvation. David does not say, say unto my soul, I have saved you, or I will save you. He does not simply say, say unto my soul, I will save you, David. But he says, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Nor does he say, say unto my soul, I am thy saviour. But I am thy salvation. It's not I am thy saviour, though his Lord is his saviour, and though his Lord did save him. But it's more than just that. He says, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Not just that he's been saved, not just that God is his saviour, but that God is his salvation. It's not that God is the saviour and salvation is something that God performs for David. But he says unto the Lord, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. God, Christ, is his salvation. He is. Christ isn't just a saviour. He doesn't just deliver us, but he is our salvation. To be saved from our enemies is to be one with Christ. Is to have Christ, is to know Christ, is to be wed to Christ. He is our salvation if we know him. Not just our Saviour. Not just one who has performed an act which saved us. But he is our salvation. To be lost is to not have Christ. To be saved is to have Christ. I am thy salvation. This is what salvation is. He is. God is. Christ is. He is our salvation if we're saved. I am thy salvation. I am. It is divine. It's God that David cries to. It's the Lord he cries to. It's Christ he cries to. There's no salvation in man. There's no hope in man. There's no hope in you, in me, or in any man that you can go to. There's no hope in a preacher, though a preacher will be sent, a true preacher will be sent of God to you with God's message of salvation, which he speaks in the Spirit. But there's no hope in the preacher himself. He's but a voice piece. He's but a messenger. There's no salvation in man. Salvation is of the Lord. We read in Jonah. It's of the Lord. Entirely of the Lord. Man can't save you. You can't save you. Nothing you can do or decide will save you. You need God to say unto your soul, in person, in particular, I am thy salvation, because only he can save you. Only he is a saviour, and only he is your salvation. You either have him or you don't. You either know him or you're lost. You either hear him or you remain deaf and blind to the truth. I am thy salvation. You must hear his speech unto your soul. You must know him. Salvation is of the Lord, not of man. He doesn't come unto us in the gospel and say, I have wrought salvation. Do you want it? He doesn't come unto us in the gospel and speak of Jesus Christ and his death and say, Christ died for sinners that they might be saved if they will receive him. He doesn't present a salvation that is there for the taking if you but will, because you but won't. If that's salvation, then you are lost, because it stays over there. Neither you nor I will ever go and receive it. Because by nature we're dead and blind in our sins, and we don't care and we don't seek. Nor can it be earned. He doesn't present salvation and say, there it is, if you can buy it, if you can earn it. If you just walk right and walk before me and do these things, there it is, I'll reward you with salvation. It's not a reward for your doing, because if it is, you'll never match up to the standard. That's the lesson that God taught his people. He gave them the law when he delivered them out of Egypt to show them that they had no part in this matter, that they couldn't live before him aright, that everything was by grace. He gave them that law after having delivered them. They already knew what it was to be lost and bound in captivity in Egypt. They were already hopeless and helpless. They didn't rescue themselves. They didn't get out of Egypt. They didn't make a decision to say, right, we're heading off. They didn't do the work of organizing the people and heading out. God delivered them. Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. God sent plagues, terrible plagues, and still Pharaoh didn't want to let them go. God had to use mighty power before Pharaoh eventually said go. And even when they went, he came after them, pursuing them, trying to bring them back again. God delivered that people. But he showed that people, having delivered them, that it is not your doing. He had to teach them and their children and future generations that nothing they did would match up. They were given a law to show them that they were wicked. Even having been delivered from Egypt, they weren't suddenly a righteous people just because God had separated them under him. By nature, they were sinful. And their righteousness was found in Christ alone. There's nothing that you can do to save yourself. You can't bring yourself out of Egypt. God had to send Moses unto the people, his mediator, to deliver them. A picture of Christ. God was their saviour. And he said unto their souls, I am thy salvation. And if you're ever to be delivered from your sin, you need to hear his voice saying unto your soul, I am thy salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. Of the Lord, it's divine, it's of God. But it also is the Lord. I am thy salvation. It's to know him. It's to hear him. It's to be one with him. It's to live in him. In him we live and move and have our being. Outside of him we're dead and carnal. We're born dead in trespasses and sins. But if he quickens us unto life by the Holy Spirit through the gospel, if he brings us to life, if God comes unto our soul and says, live. If he speaks unto us in the grave like he spake unto Lazarus and says, come forth, then he breathes life into the soul and he is our life. I am thy salvation. In Isaiah 62 we read of the great promise of God's salvation coming unto his people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. And in so promising, behold, thy salvation cometh, God, through the prophet, was not just speaking of their salvation as an act, as an event, but he was speaking of the coming of his Son. He was speaking of the entrance of the Son of God into this world. Not just that the Son of God would come to save them, come to bring them salvation, but that he was their salvation. Behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. He is your salvation. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Behold, thy salvation cometh. I am thy salvation. He is. You cannot be saved except Christ is your salvation. To be saved is to know him, is to love him, is to hear him, is to see him, to behold him, is to sit at his feet, is to walk with him, is to adore him. Salvation is to be with Christ. We know that when our lives reach their conclusion, that we will head either for heaven or for hell. But there are many in this world who, hearing the gospel or some presentation of the truth, would love to avoid hell. People don't want to die. You probably don't want to die. You don't want to think of being plunged into the fires of hell for eternity. You would love to escape the destruction and the judgment of God that your sins have earned you. But the natural man, though he doesn't want to be destroyed, he doesn't want to be with Christ. He doesn't want Christ. He might long to be spared from hell, and he might long to go to a place he calls heaven, where there is no suffering and no sorrow, and where he can have whatever he dreams of. But he doesn't want Christ. And heaven, truly speaking, is Christ. I am thy salvation. Either heaven to you is Christ, and that is the greatest gift and the greatest joy and all that you could wish for, or the alternative is hell. There is no heaven without Christ. Heaven is Christ. I am thy salvation. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. I am thy salvation, thy. It's personal. It's addressed in person to David here. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation, David. Not I am the Saviour. Not I am salvation, but I am thy salvation. He doesn't just want to hear that God is a saviour of his people. He wants to know if he's amongst that people. He doesn't just want to hear that Christ delivered his people from their sins. He wants to know if he's amongst the ones whom Christ delivered. He doesn't just want to know that God saves. He wants to know that God saves him. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Now you may have heard the gospel, and you may be able to tell others facts of the gospel. You may be able to say, I know that God created the heavens and the earth. I know that he made man upon the face of the earth. I know that man fell and rebelled. I know that I fell and rebelled in him. I know that I'm born a sinner. I know that the wrath of God burns from heaven against my sins. And I know that God sent his Son into this world. And I know that he lived as a perfect man. And I know that he went to the cross. And I know that he was nailed to the cross. And I know that he laid down his life in the place of sinners. I know that he suffered under the wrath of God. I know that he bore the sins of his people. I know that he died. I know that he was laid in the grave. I know that he rose again. You may be able to say all of those things. But did Christ die for you? You may know those things. You may acknowledge them to be true. You may know there are those that know that for themselves, but did he do it for you? Has he said unto your soul, I am thy salvation? This is personal, it's addressed, and we've no right to presume upon this salvation. We've no right to presume that Christ died for us unless he comes to us in his gospel, unless he comes to us by his Spirit and says unto our soul, I am thy salvation. We must know him and hear him personally. David did. David heard. David saw. David knew. As others in the scriptures saw and knew. They knew. They beheld him. They heard him. They held him. In Luke and chapter 2, the mother of Jesus, mother and father of Jesus, took Jesus, having been born in the city of David, they took him to the temple. And we read in Luke 2, verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marvelled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Simeon beheld the Lord Jesus. He took him in his hands. He lifted up the Son of God, the one for whom he had waited, waiting for the consolation of Israel. He came by the Spirit into the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He saw him. It was personal. He was brought into the very place where he was. He came into the same place. There was the Lord Jesus. There was the Son of God. There was God's salvation. And he picked him up. He was seen personally. Having been promised personally. God said unto his people, he sent prophets to his people. He sent promises that his Saviour would come. In Habakkuk 3 and verse 13, we read, thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck. Here's the promise of his coming, that he would go forth for the salvation of his people, even for salvation with thine anointed. God would send his anointed. He would send his Son, the same Son that Simeon took in his hands. mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Have your eyes seen his salvation? Has your soul heard him speak? I am thy salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. He will bring it to us. He will tell us. He will speak unto us. He will come in his gospel unto our soul and say to us in person, at a time appointed, at an hour that only he knows, when he's prepared the ground, when he's made the way plain, when he's worked in our soul and brought us to cry and to know that we have a need, when he's brought us to that point of knowing we need saving, like David cried, help me, Lord, hear me, deliver me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. When we've been brought there, then, at the hour that God appoints, then he says by his gospel, by his spirit, unto us in person, I am thy salvation. Has he said it to you? Finally, I am thy salvation. Salvation. Oh, what a word. Oh, what depths and riches there are. How synonymous with Christ the Saviour. He is our salvation if we know him. He was David's salvation. But what a salvation. And how David through the Psalms speaks of it in so many ways. What a salvation. He delivered him from all his enemies. He delivered him from his physical enemies, those that would put him to death. He delivered him from his spiritual enemies. Satan tried to destroy David, but God would not allow it. Satan tried to destroy the disciple Simon Peter. And Jesus told him that Satan wanted to sift him, he wanted to attack him, he wanted to destroy him. But Christ wouldn't allow it. He delivered him from all his enemies. He delivered him from the great enemy of his soul, sin that was within him, and the sins which he'd committed which damned him. Salvation brings the forgiveness of our sins, of all our sins, past, present and future. They're blotted out by the Saviour. They're washed away by his blood. They are no more when God in justice and judgment comes unto his people on the last day. He'll come unto them and look upon them as he looked upon David, and he'll look upon him and he'll see blood. No sins, none whatsoever. Will he come to you? And will he look and see the blood of Jesus Christ washing away every sin? Will he say, I am thy salvation? Salvation delivers us from sin itself. That iniquity within our hearts that causes sins to bubble forth, which prevents us from being able to walk righteous. We can't control it. Every day sins flow forth. Every day there's hatred. Every day there's animosity. Every day there's selfishness. Every day there's self-glorying. Every day there's doubt and unbelief. Every day there's pride and arrogance. Every day sin bubbles to the surface. But salvation, Christ delivers us from sin itself. He's destroyed it. He's taken it away. He was made sin. He was slain. He was burnt up. He was consumed that God might deliver us from our sin. Salvation delivers us from the judgment, because the judgment came down from heaven upon the Son of God. Upon salvation itself. Upon salvation in the person of Jesus Christ. The judgment poured down upon him, the fires of God's wrath poured down upon Christ. Salvation pays a ransom price, that those who are bound, that those who are slaves to sin might be set free. And that price was the blood of Jesus Christ. Salvation brings redemption. A price paid to free the sinner. We're redeemed by the blood of Christ. Salvation justifies those who in themselves are full of sin. It says unto the sinner, though they've done nothing but sin, and though they can't prevent themselves by nature from sinning, it says unto them, not guilty. The law was broken every moment of every day by everything we've done. But if God is our salvation, if he has said unto our soul, I am thy salvation, then that salvation brings with it a sentence, not guilty. There's no sin, you've done no wrong. I've taken it away. Salvation brings in righteousness. The very righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. When God looks at us in Christ, he sees Christ. He sees the righteousness of God. He sees perfection. Salvation brings sanctification. It takes the sinner and it sets him apart and delivers him from the world in which he once was and says he's a holy thing, separated unto me, separated unto God. This wretched sinner, you perhaps, salvation says of wretched sinners like you and I, they are a holy thing. Separated unto God, they're mine. Salvation delivers us from all our enemies. Salvation is all in Christ. It's all in him, and it is all him. It's all to be found in him, and because of him, and performed by him. And it is all in him. We read that verse from Isaiah. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He was the one that did all the work to deliver his people from their sins. He went to the cross. He loved them so greatly that he laid down his life for them. He wrought righteousness upon the cross for them. He took their sin and blotted it out and made them to be righteous in him. His work was to deliver them from their sins, to take the judgment of God and to drink the cup of God's wrath to the dregs. His work is before him. But his reward for doing that, for dying in their place, is with him. His reward is his bride, is his people, is those he saves. His reward is with him. Salvation is all in him. If we're his, we're in him. It's all in him. And it is all him. So united are his people unto him that they are depicted as the bride with the bridegroom. They're one flesh. They're one person. They're united. They're one with Christ. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. I am thy salvation. It's all in Christ. Zechariah 9, the prophet writes, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. O daughter of Zion, O daughter of Jerusalem, O sinner, has thy king come unto thee? Has he who is just and having salvation, as he who is lowly and rides forth upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass, meek and lowly, nothing in the sight of the world, but glorious in the sight of the sinner, has he come unto thee, thy king, thy salvation? Has he in the gospel said unto you in particular, said unto your soul, I am thy salvation? In life you will meet various people. There will be encounters that change your life. One day you might meet a man or a woman that becomes your husband or your wife. There will be people you meet that change the course of your life. But you can meet no one like this king. If you meet anyone, oh, you need to meet he who says unto the soul, I am thy salvation. I am thy salvation. Amen.